Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
We now enter into the last chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. God has started by teaching us the application of God's truth after salvation. And so he gave us verse 21, focusing on submission. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. This is the instruction to Christian wives. Christian husband, the submission to God's truth is that you owe your wife to love them as Christ loved the church. That's what we see in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives. You owe it to your wife to love them. That is your debt. That is your duty. You are a Christian husband. This is what you are to do. It did not say that you are to love your wife if your wife is a Christian. It did not say Christian wives to submit to your husband because your husband is a Christian. The Bible did not say that. The Bible gave instruction to the Christian wife. You love the husband that God has blessed you with. Christian husband, you love the wife as God has blessed you with. And now to the children. The Bible did not say you only obey Christian parents. And just as we're going to focus on the parent in verse 4, Father, you are not to provoke your children. Christian father, Christian parents, we have our duties to our children. Whether they're believers or not, we have to do our duty as Christian wives, Christian husbands, and in this morning's exhortation, Christian children. Who are parents? Parents come from a root word which means to be. Because of our parents, we become. We be. In other words, we come into this world because of our parents. Without our parents, we do not exist. That's what it means by the meaning of the word parents. Somehow, out of the 10 commandments that God gave to mankind, God could have picked any one of the 613 commandments that you find in the Old Testament. God has his top 10. And within this top 10, you will see man's greatest weakness, greatest difficulty. And what we have in this top 10 is commandment number 5. Honor your parents. Why must God give us a command to honor our parents? It's as if God knows that we do not have this propensity in us as children to honor our parents. God knows that we have this propensity to take our parents for granted because they are parents. Why? Why did God give us a command to honor them? We by nature do not like to be told what to do. As you grow older and older in life, you become more and more independent. And when you study the growing years of a child or of a person, including yourself and myself, we were once children as parents, you realize that we were very young, maybe up to the age of 6 years old before we enter into primary school. Everything that the parents tell us to do, we have no ability to evaluate. Because we do not know the difference between the right hand and the left hand. And that's why during this period of time, children are considered children before the age of accountability. And so whatever the parents tell them, they will just simply listen. And that's why God has said to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, warned everyone, including parents and teachers, that if you were to stumble any young child, they do not have the ability to discern. Whatever you say to them, they will believe what you say, especially when it comes from parents and teachers. And if you teach them wrongly, because whether it is in ignorance or whether it is deliberate, God says it is better for that person to tie a millstone, and a millstone is huge, around his neck and to be cast into the sea. You do not hurt or harm little ones. But as they grow older, They begin to know the difference and they begin to evaluate what you say, whether it is right or wrong and good for them to obey. And so as parents, as their children grow older, you find the challenges will change. They now begin to talk back. They begin to reason and ask questions, more questions than you would like to answer time and time again. And then by the time they enter into the secondary school, your influence over them may be only about 50% or even less when it was used to be 100% when they were below the age of 6. And by the time they enter into junior college, 17, 18 years, so you realize that your influence over them may be less than 10%, if at all. And by the time they become adult, you realize that you could only give advice. Now, whether they accept it or not, it's now up to them. The role of the parent in the lives of their children is lifelong. It doesn't stop. It doesn't matter whether the child is 60 and you are 80. The feeling of a parent over a child is a lifetime. As parents, we know that. You never stop caring for them. You never stop loving them. You are prepared to do anything for them. You are prepared to give your life for the child. That's why God doesn't have to give us a commandment for us to look after our children, to love our children. We know we will. I mean, we're talking about normal day-to-day parents. We're not talking about those extreme cases. But normally, day-to-day, as ordinary parents, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, the parental love for the child, you don't need to command them. They naturally will have them. And it is deeper and greater in a mother than in a father. The reason is the mother carries the baby in her womb for 9 months. And because of this, the attachment and the love of the mother for the child is more unconditional than that of a father, in that sense, where the deep bond between mom and child is much, much greater and deeper, because the father will not be able to feel or appreciate or understand what's it like to carry the baby inside her for 9 months. But parents are the ones whom God has blessed us with. You have no choice. God chose your mom and your dad for you. Does not matter how they have treated you. Does not matter what kind of background you have in relation to your parents, whether they are good or no good. God's instruction is very plain and clear, and He used two command imperatives, obey and honor. And both of them is continuous. You never stop obeying. You never stop honoring. The difference between obedience and honoring is this. Obedience is the way that you show your honor of them. You cannot just simply say we honor them by putting their pictures all over your house. You honor them by obeying them. And that's why God used the word obedience in this passage. Obey your parents, children. They are yours. God chose them for you. God makes no mistakes. Now, they are not perfect. That's why there is a clear distinction. When you look at verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. The preposition used in verse 22 is as, like. Pattern it as unto the Lord. That means you obey or you submit to your husband as if you're submitting to the Lord. The instruction is given to the wife to submit. And that's why God said to the Christian wife, do it as if you're doing it to the Lord. But in the case of the children, obey your parents in the Lord. The instruction is in, as opposed to as unto the Lord. Change in preposition. Because in this case, the instruction is not from God. The instruction comes from your parents to obey. You are to obey all the instructions of your parents, whereas in the case of the Christian wife, you are to submit, which is the instruction that God has given to you, that is submission. You do it as unto the Lord. But in this case, whatever your parents ask you to do, the controlling guideline is in the Lord. So everything that your parents ask you to do that is in the Lord, you must obey. If it is not in the Lord, you do not need to obey. That's what it means. The scope of obedience is emphasized in verse 1. In the case of Ephesians 5, verse 22, the emphasis is not so much in the scope. The emphasis is on the example. You are to submit as unto the Lord. The Lord is your example for submission. You do it because of the Lord's sake. You do it as if you're obeying the Lord, even though it is the word of the husband, but you are doing it as if you're doing it for Jesus' sake. That's what it means. Now, we are not saying that as children of God, you don't do it for Jesus' sake. You do it for Jesus' sake as well. It's the emphasis. The emphasis here in Ephesians 6:1 is for the children, whatever your parents ask you to do, you are to obey them continuously in the Lord. Now, what exactly does that mean? It changes. Changes in terms of the age of the child. For example, if you are an adult, you have a life of your own, even though you live in your parents' home. Say you are 25 years old. You are a Christian. Your parents are not Christians. And then your parents tell you, don't go to church. If you go to church, I will be brokenhearted. Your mom tells you. Your dad tells you. And so now they ask you to disobey the Lord because your parents tell you, you must now love me more than you love Christ. What should you do as a Christian adult? Matthew 10:37 says, if you love your father, your mother more than Christ, you are not worthy to be his disciple. Now that is to an adult. Now let's say you are not 25. You are 7, 8 years old. And then you tell your parents, I am a Christian. I've accepted Christ as my Lord, as my Savior in the CMC or the Sunday school. Then your parents say, no, you're not allowed to go to church. You have to obey your parents in the Lord when you are 7 and 8 years old. You don't run away from home. You are not an adult yet. You have to pray and continue to convince your mom and your dad. I have become a better son. I have become a better daughter. Please let me go to church. Keep on praying, keep on asking. Keep on praying, keep on asking as you witness to them, as a child still under their care. And as you know, in our country, there is a law that I think if you are less than 18 years old, you're not allowed to be baptized without parental consent. You have to sign a form. Obey your parents in the Lord. That's why just now I mentioned it is the age of the child. At what age? If you are independent, old enough to live and work out there, you have to be baptized. You have to do all that God asks you to do according to the scriptures. Your age is very, very important in relation to how you obey your parents. 4, 5, 6 years old, you are just a little child. You do not know, of course, you will obey. You have to obey. As you grow older, you obey. Whatever your mom and dad ask you to do that is not contrary to God's truth, you obey them. If they tell you, come home by a certain time. Do not play any more computer games after 8 p.m. Go to sleep at 9 p.m. All these you have to obey. You have to listen. That's what the Bible says. Obey. Why? Because you are a Christian and you can obey in the Lord Jesus Christ as a testimony. Because they are not believers. Now, if they are believers, all the more you should obey as well to encourage them as evidence that you are indeed a child of God because you are a good son. You are an obedient son, an obedient daughter, a good daughter. You obey them. You do not make life difficult for them. Are they perfect? No, they are not perfect. They are not supposed to be perfect because if they are perfect, they will not need Christ themselves. They need Christ. And if they are unbelievers, all the more you must think of your parents' salvation. all the more you have to think of how you can lead them to Christ, how they can see Christ in you, and what better way for them to see Christ in you is the new life that you have in Christ. Before that, you were argumentative, you were disobedient, you were even rude. You don't even care for them. You wake up in the morning, you don't even acknowledge them, you don't say, good morning, mom, good morning, dad. You just simply do your own thing, you just walk out, and your house and your room is just like a hotel. Worse than a hotel. You don't even bother. You are rude to your mom and your dad. You raise your voice to them. You used to do that. Why? Because somehow children take parents for granted. Children just do not like to be told what to do. As they mature, as they grow older and older, as they gain independence, they do not know how to deal with this independence that they now have, that they now enjoy. Out there in the world with their friends treat them as adults, as individuals. The friends do not tell them what to do, and that's why very often as parents, when we observe our children are more well-mannered, they are more patient and exercise longer long-suffering toward their friends than toward their parents. Why is it that when parents ask them to go out, they can reply and respond so graciously and so nicely? When parents ask them to go out, they ignore, they raise their voices, and they are rude to them. Why is that the case? Because parents tell children what to do, and children, like every one of us, don't like to be told what to do. That's why God has to give us this command, obey your parents, listen to them, because they have the right to tell you what to do. That's why God says it is right. For this is right. Who's right? Not only is it the right thing for you to obey, it is also their right. Is it not their right to tell you what to do? That's the meaning of parents. Because of them, you become who you are. You be. That's what it means. You came into this world because of them. Sure, God is the ultimate creator. But God was the one who chose your father and your mother to bring you into this world. And therefore, God entrusted your upbringing into their hands. Parents work hard. You ask yourself, why do they work so hard? Who do they work hard for? For children. Sometimes when you are sick, parents are prepared to stay without sleep just to make sure that you are well. And the next morning, without sleep, they still have to go to work. They suffer without you even knowing anything because you were just a baby, a toddler, a few months old, a year or two old. You do not know the kind of love, the kind of sacrifices that parents have to give in order to take care of you. Because of all the creatures that God has created, it is said that the human baby is the most vulnerable, the most helpless of all of the creatures that God has created on this planet Earth. That they need parental love and care and protection and guardian to clean them, to feed them, to nurse them, to nurture them, to keep them safe. When they are cold, keep them warm. When they are warmer, help them and make sure that they are comfortable. To take care of them and to pour their heart and their soul into their lives. And when they grow up, they don't see parents as human beings just like them. They see parents as someone just parents. Parents to children are not human beings. They are mom and dad, right? They're just mom and dad. They're always there. They're always there. And that's why God has to wake us up as children, honor them by obeying them. That's how God says. The manner of honoring is obedience. This is the right thing for you to do, and it is also their right to expect obedience from you simply because they are your parents. That's it. Just like wives, why do you submit to your husband? Because he's husband. That's it. It doesn't have to say that he earns more money than you, he's highly educated, more highly educated than you. Just simply, he's your husband. That's it. Same here. They are your parents. Full stop. As long as they are alive, regardless of their state and condition, they are your parents. You are to honor them by obeying them. And as they grow older, you know parents become very weak. And as they grow older, you will look at them the same way they look at you when you were a baby. The only difference is that they are heavier, they are not as cute. Right? Because as you grow older, you realize that some parents become incontinent. They have to wear diapers. They will lose their ability to feed themselves. They will lose their mobility. And so what do? As children, you can't obey them anymore, because some of them might even be so sick they can't even think, they can't even reason anymore. They lost their ability. They forget things. And many of us will find them a burden. And we will rather experience out of sight, out of mind. Put them and chuck them somewhere. Pay some money to some old folks' home and just put them there. And maybe visit them once a year during Chinese New Year. And can't wait for the day when they're no longer on earth, where you are free of them. Right? They have become a burden, a chore. Why do you think God has to give us these instructions? Obey your parents in the Lord while they are still lucid and able to give you advice. Doesn't matter how old you become, as long as they are old enough, they will continue to give advice, because they don't stop being a parent. That's the way they are. And you never stop being their children. Please understand this. You may become a parent yourself, but as long as your parents are alive, you will always be their children. You have to realize this is the way that God has created us. This is the way a parent will always be a parent, and a child, as long as the parents are alive, you will always be children to them, even though you have become parents yourself. And so therefore, you continue to obey them in the Lord. Mom and dad will give you advice, and sometimes even you are 45 years old, and they see how you bring up your children, and they see certain spiritual behavior that you are in that is not very biblical, they will tell you. Now, you will not like it. How you react and respond to them will be crucial, because they will always be parents. They will always care for you. They will always love you. They always want the best for you. Sometimes may not be correct, because some of them may not be Christians. But you are to obey them in the Lord, where the scope is the Scriptures. Always the Scriptures. And in everything that is not against the teaching of God's Word, things practical, do it. It is right. That's what God says. And the basis is a command. Honor them. The difference is, in honoring, you are to value something. In this case, value someone. The word obey means to put yourself under the instruction of someone. That's the word obedience. In the case of honor, esteem this person very highly. Put a value to this person. That's what it means by honor. And when you dishonor them, basically you put a very low value or no value on that person or something. That's what it means by the word honor. So, how important are your parents to you if they are still alive? It is always your privilege to take care of them, to nurse them if necessary, and never, never consider it a chore. It will take time. It will take away your time. It will take away your free time, your sports time. How much time did your parents have to sacrifice to take care of you and to nurse you when you were babies? How much time they have to go out to work day in and day out in order to make sure that you have clothes and food and a good education? Of course, we're not asking to do it because they have done that to you. Because if that is the case, then if parents did not do that for you, or you are an orphan, then so now when you become aware of your father and your mother, you thought you were brought up in an orphanage, you have no father and mother, your father, your mother may have just dropped you off somewhere. And then later on, as you grow up and you found out that they are still alive, they have not given you all that which you need when you were growing up. And so now that you are a Christian and you have found your parents, they have not taken care of you. You're not asking for a tit-for-tat basis. God simply says, honor them. Plain and simple. Your father and your mother, this is a commandment. That's it. This is a commandment. So we are not saying tit-for-tat. But we want you to think, if your parents have done all that sacrifices for you, now it is your time. Even if they did not sacrifice all those things for you, it is still your time. It is always a privilege to take care of your parents, whom God has chosen to bring you into this world to become who you are because of them. It is always your privilege. That's why, children, if you are working, always give something to your mom and dad. It's not a matter whether they need it or not. Your mom and dad may be multi-billionaire. That's not the point. The point is that you remember, then you give them a token sum of what you have worked so hard for and to express your love in kind. Remember their birthday. Remember the special occasions. Remember them, that's all. By honoring them, by putting a very high value. Because the moment the Lord takes them home, that's it. I can't honor my father and my mother even if I want to. They're no longer on earth for me to honor them. My dad passed away when I was 17. Thank God my mom came to know Christ before the Lord took her home. She loved my sister, the one who passed away when she was 29 years old. I was 28. When she accepted Christ, she shared with me. If I do not accept Christ, I know I will join Dad. My dad. But if I accept Christ, I know I will join my sister, her daughter. But she accepted Christ. Thank God she was convicted of her sin and she accepted Christ. But this was her feeling. Maybe that's how elderly people reason or think. My mom came to know Christ not at a young age, when she had to look after all nine of us after my dad's passing. We have no home. Everywhere we stayed, rented premises. My dad was a multi-millionaire. He was a member of parliament back home in Seremban. I remember growing up in a big house. We played golf when we were young. We played chess. We played among ourselves because my dad wants us to be safe. We're not allowed to go to school without a driver to protect us. We don't take bus. We go to school, we come home. We go to school, we're not allowed to participate in any activities. He's afraid of us being kidnapped. And then suddenly, after my dad's passing, within a few months, we have no home to stay. Our home in Singapore was 6th Avenue. I still remember. I can't imagine the fear that my mom had to carry with her. I'm number 4, 17 years old. I have 5 more other brothers and sisters. The youngest one, I think, was about maybe 10 years old at the time. No job. Whatever savings she had, rented premises, that's where we stayed. Until we were all old enough, we started work, and then we combined our CPF to buy a little home. All of us combined, a condominium somewhere nearby for my mom to stay in. It was difficult for my mom. It must have been something that I can't even imagine. That's why when I was in national service, I did not share with her my struggles, my problems, my difficulties, because I knew that she carried enough burdens without my adding to her my burdens. But because of this, we became very independent. And because of our independence, I knew I was very rude to my mom. When my mom asked me to do this, to do that, I knew my reply was very rude. But I can't control it. I can't stop it. I have my own burdens, I have my own problems, and my mom tells me about where am I going, what am I doing, and sometimes in the army, sometimes in the university, come back late because of work, because of studies, got to give tuition to have pocket money. My mom said, I wouldn't have enough to pay for your school fees. I've got no money to pay for your pocket money or for your money to buy books. You got to find some way to buy all these things yourself. So we have to give tuition. And so the more independent you become, the more you don't like people to tell you what to do. And that was my problem. I knew I was very rude to my mom. And so when weekends come, she asked me, where am I going? I would just simply either ignore her or I raise my voice at her until I became a Christian. Just because I became a Christian does not mean that all this rudeness stopped overnight. I still had to struggle. I still have to struggle with it. But now I know that I have the strength to calm myself, to be patient. And I ask myself, why is it that when my friends talk to me, I become so patient? I become so patient with my church friends. But how come when I talk to my mom, when my mom talk to me, somehow it's like there is this evil side comes out of me? How come I cannot be patient with my mom the same way that I'm patient with my
friends? How come I can't talk to her without raising my voice the way that I could talk to my friends? I asked myself many, many times, because I hate it every time when I lose my cool and I answer my mom rudely. And I knew how much my mom had to suffer to take care of us. And the worst thing is, my mom never retaliated. She just accepted it. And that makes it even more miserable for me. She just accepted it. She did not answer back. She did not talk back. She just kept quiet. And she asked me, where are you going? What time are you coming back? Either I raise my voice or I just walk out of the house without telling her. And she continued to take care of us. She continued to wash our clothes, iron our clothes. She continued to cook our meals. She continued to take care of us. That's mother's love. No matter how rude I was. And so after I became a Christian, and then I gave up my architecture and I went into full-time, she was even more concerned. More concerned. Instead of me giving her money, now she gave me some money. I said, Mom, I don't need. But she said, never mind, you just take. Mother's love. Even after I finished my studies, I came back. She wouldn't accept. She continued to give. Mother's love. It is always your privilege to honor them by obeying them, by remembering them. But when they are old, so old that you can't even obey them because they have no more ability to give you any instruction, like if they have dementia, if they have Alzheimer's, the obedient part is gone. They can't tell you anything because they don't even have the lucidity and the presence of mind to tell you anything. But you still have to honor them. How do you honor them? By continuing to care for them, to nurture them. And if they need help to go to hospital, you be there for them. That's what it means to honor them. What is the price? What is the value that you put on your mom and on your dad? That's going to be sure seen by your life. By how you honor them, how you treat them and care for them. The obedience part is gone. They can't tell you what to do now. They will keep on maybe thinking about the past and they keep on harping things over and over again and they can really make you stretch your long suffering. And yet, it's your mom. It's your dad. There will be sacrifices. That's how you honor them. Are you prepared? God has a purpose for keeping your mom and your dad alive. And sometimes I envy you guys because I can't do all the things that you can do for your mom but you don't do. I can't do it for my mom. She's no longer on earth. Your parent is. So what is the value that you're going to put on your mom and your dad? As a Christian child, as a child of God who knows what God the Father has done for you in Christ Jesus. Your parents, they have poured out their life in taking care of you. You are a Christian now. Do you know gratitude? Have you not experienced a new heart in Christ whereby learning to be grateful and to be thankful is part and parcel of what it means to be born again in Christ? To learn mercy, to learn compassion, all these are part and parcel of the fruit of the Spirit. And now God says, your mom and your dad, it is now your turn to honor them, to care for them. They can't take care of themselves. What is the value you put on them? That is your answer to the Lord. It's not just in words. Prove it by your action. They need help. They need transport to the hospital. You have a car. Do you bring them? Do you really bring them? Or do you just simply get somebody to call a cab? Get them to take bus. Just simply take money and use money to buy your way out. You want parents to just simply pour down money and they ignore you? You know that kind of parents are derelict parents. No time for children other than just simply give them money. That will be our focus when we look at verse 4. How parents ought to take care of their children. Bring them up properly. And you do not want that kind of parent. So don't be that kind of children. Just simply use money to just put your parents somewhere out of sight, out of mind, and just ignore them. Don't even care for them and can't wait for them to leave this world so that this burden of looking after them is gone forever. Don't be so cold. Don't be so hardened of heart in relation to your parents that you have so little value for them. And don't just say to their face, we love you, we care for you. And all you give to them is just chuck them somewhere because you have the money and that's it.
and let some strangers look after them. It is your honor and your privilege to be there for them, just as they were there for you. And God says, this is the first commandment with promise, which is true. You look at all the 10 commandments. This is the first commandment that comes with the promise. And what was the promise? The result of honoring. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now if you look at Exodus 20 verse 12, and you compare the two, you realize that the words are changed. And when you realize the words are changed accordingly, then you will be able to understand what it means by it may be well with thee, and that you may live long on the earth. Alright? Now let's see. Exodus 20 verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now in Exodus, it is the promised land. You may live long in the promised land. Whereas in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 3, it is now changed to you may live long on the earth. It's not the promised land, but the earth. Now, why did God make the switch? Now, some people think that if you obey your mom and your dad, if you honor your mom and your dad, you may live long on the earth. That means you will have long life as an individual. All right? So, therefore, what is not a long life? Pray tell. All right? So, let's say a long life is 70 years. So anyone who dies below the age of 70, you did not honor your father and your mother. Is that how we understand this verse? Because live long, right? So those who live beyond 70 years old, then you must be very good to your mom and your dad. You honor them very well, therefore you live long. This is not what it's supposed to be. How do we know that? Because when you compare the two, in Exodus 20 verse 12, you may live long in the promised land. Here, you may live long on the earth. What it means is this. Let's look at the Old Testament first. And once you understand the Old Testament, you draw the same principle, you will understand the New Testament usage. What was Israel's duty on the earth? Israel's duty on the earth was to be a witness of God's grace and God's mercy to the rest of the world. That this is God's people. Look at Israel, you're going to see Christ. And you're going to find salvation in Christ. Now, every family in Israel combined together makes up the nation of Israel. And when every family in Israel is holy, when every child in the Israeli home, they honor father and mother. What do you have? You have a godly family. You have godly homes. And when everyone does that, or majority of them would do that, that means you will have a holy and a godly nation. And therefore, as you live on this earth, as a godly nation in the promised land, God says, I will not put you into exile. Because when you study the blessing and the curses that God promised Israel, if you obey, these are the blessings. If you disobey, this will be the curses. And the culmination of the punishment upon Israel would be removal from the land, exile. You will no longer be allowed in the land. And so when every home have children who honor parents, then you will be godly. And as long as Israel is godly, God will make sure that Israel remains in the land. God will not take you out of the land. So it is not with reference to individual long life. But it is with reference to a longer period of testimony. That your purpose as a living witness, visible testimony of God's grace and God's mercy in Israel is very, very good. And God is pleased. And so God will make sure that your enemies cannot uproot you and take you out of the land. But if you continue to be idolatrous, and you know what idolatry can do to a family, do you know the chapter of the Bible that teaches us the significance and the warning of the fruits of idolatry? You turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is the chapter that will teach us what the fruits of idolatry are. Romans chapter 1. Now you listen. Romans chapter 1. All right. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and of two birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts. So now you have the fruits of idolatry. So verse 23, idolatry. Verse 24 onwards, the fruits of idolatry. So God gave them up to their uncleanness. So what are the uncleanness? The lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So verse 26 and 27, what do you have? Homosexuality. That's top of the list concerning the fruits of idolatry. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their image, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, so what characterized a reprobate mind? To do those things which are not convenient. Now watch the list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now what do you see in verse 30? Disobedient to parents. And the rest continued. Now this is the list of the fruits of idolatry. So when you see this world in this state, when you saw Israel, when Israel worshipped idols, this characterized Israel's behavior and conduct. And so when you disobey parents as part of the fruits of idolatry, God says, if you do not repent, you will cease to be my godly witness. And God says, I will take you out of the land of promise so that you will no longer be my national witness. And that happened for 70 years during the time of Daniel and Ezekiel. They lived and they grew up in the land of exile in Babylon. Now this was the understanding of commandment number 5. If you honor your parents, that means you stop worshipping idols, you continue to worship God, you will live long in the land of promise that God will give to you. That means your witness will stand and will be pleasing to God, and God will allow you to remain in the land. Now you apply the same principle to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 3. So what do you have? Ephesians 6 verse 3. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. So God will not destroy this earth. God will not take us out of this earth. Just as God will not destroy Israel, the land of promise. Now you look at our world. Christianity is dying. And the Bible tells us before the Lord returns, Christianity will become apostate. What does that mean? Idolatry. Whether it is you worship stone idols, metal idols, gold idols, silver idols, or human idols, atheism. It is still idolatry, and the fruits of idolatry will not change. And on that list, you find disobedient to parents. And so Christianity is dying in the last days. You look at the Christian world. It used to be Europe. Christianity is dead there. But you look at Europe today. Fornications abound. Idolatry abound. Then it went over to Britain. It used to be Great Britain. Now it is just Britain or England. What is happening? Christianity is also dying. And that means disobedient to parents. Also full of idolatry. And then we look at America, the other stalwart of the Christian faith. After Europe, after Britain, then America. You look at America, it is also dying. Seminaries that used to be fundamental are shutting down, are closing down. That's trying to sell their premises. Christianity is dying. And so what does that mean? Idolatry will take over. And once idolatry take over, disobedient to parents. And you look at parents' failure, and you look at children's behavior and conduct toward parents in an idolatrous society. And so what would that mean? That means God will no longer allow man to live on this earth. Just as God did not allow Israel to live in the promised land, God had to take Israel out because of Israel's idolatry. For 70 years, God removed Israel. Now, when will God remove this us? The second coming of Christ. When you have good, strong Christian teachings, you're going to have godly homes. And then godly homes would mean children will honor parents. And when children honor parents, and just as all the families in Israel make up Israel, all the families on earth make up the earth. And when nations of the nations that are impacted by Christianity, by the Christian faith, just imagine the nation will be moral, the nation will be strong. Of course, not everyone will be born again. But the nation will be morally strong and right. America, they have this problem of gun laws. They have the problem of prejudice, racism. They always have guns. But nowadays, when people take their guns and shoot one another, it was not like before. They always had guns. Why was it that in the past, in the 1920s, 1930s, only gangsters killed gangsters? You don't have children going to school and shoot one another. No report of such behavior and conduct in schools. But today it is so rampant. It's so frightening. That your colleague today may be very good terms and friendly with you, but if he loses his job, he gets so angry and so mad, and he has a few rifles at home, he'll bring and he'll shoot, and then he'll shoot himself. They kill one another. Why? What is the cause? They want to pass more and more laws of gun control. The problem is not gun control. The problem is the heart. When the heart is evil and wicked, when there is no more natural affection, no more love, affection for one another, this is the result. The problem is not changing the gun laws. The problem is the changing of heart. You bring Christianity, proper Christianity, biblical Christianity back into America, such things will stop. That is the problem. So God knows, when you see this world of ours where children do not honor parents, disobedient to parents is part of the fruits of idolatry. That means when this world becomes more and more idolatrous, that means Christianity begins to shrink and shrivel, where God will only have a tiny remnant. What do you think the world will be like? The world will be like one big, gigantic world where children disobey parents, they do not honor parents anymore. And we are seeing it today, repeatedly over and over again. The end times are before us. This is another sign to tell us that your time and my time on earth to serve the Lord are really numbered. Do not presume that Singapore can celebrate S100. You can dream on. That's not going to be S100. You should be thankful if you can have S60, additional 10 more years to serve, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think that this world is going to continue the way it is. You look at our world. It is changing for the worse. Fornication is rampant. Homosexuality is rampant. Disobedience to parents is global. Let us make a little difference in our home. Where children obey your parents in the Lord, it is right. It is their right and it is the right thing to do. Honor them. That's what you must do. Put a very high value on your mom and your dad. Priceless. And as long as they are alive, don't treat them as an appendix in your life. Treat them as part and parcel, an intimate part of your life. To love them and to care for them. And if you find it so hard, you pray that God will give you that love. You pray to the Lord Jesus Christ to give you that love. He can. He will. He wants to. The question is, do you want it? He will give you that love. And remember, the outcome, it may be well with you as a Christian witness and testimony. And then God may be merciful to extend the time that He will not send Jesus Christ to return to earth and give us more time to serve and to witness. Because when the Lord returns, He's not going to return as the Savior. He's going to return as the Judge. And every human being on earth, if you are evil and wicked, you'll be evil and wicked for eternity. If you are holy and righteous, you'll be holy and righteous for eternity. What that verse tells us in Revelation 22 is the time to be saved is done. The moment the clouds of glory open and Christ Jesus ride down on a white horse, it's over. The day of salvation is gone. The day of judgment has begun. Do our part as Christian children, would you? You still have parents who are alive. Put a very, very high value on them because they are chosen by God to make you to become who you are. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, when we have not honored our parents, when we have been rude to them, and we have forgotten to pray for them, when we have forgotten to care for them. Forgive us. Create in us, O Lord, this love for mom and for dad, that we always love them and care for them and show it by our obedience to them, by how we honor them, to look after them now that they cannot look after themselves. We pray, Father, for strength, for wisdom, to do our utmost and to do our part and not to push it to someone else, but to embrace our responsibility as children to our parents, to honor them while it is still day, before the Lord takes them home. I pray, Father, for every child whose parents are still alive, that Thou will be gracious and merciful to put this love and this honor and this obedience that every child of God must have toward their parents. For Jesus' sake, hear us. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.